Okay, today, students, I'm going to introduce you to the cosmological argument. The cosmological argument. And you say, what in the world is the cosmological argument? Well, I'm going to try to explain it to you. The cosmological argument. All right, this is an airsoft gun. And if you are a boy and you've played with airsoft guns, raise your hand. Okay, now whenever you play with airsoft guns, you should always wear goggles. You should always wear goggles. It's best to wear long sleeve shirts and gloves and pants. You can put your hands down. And because out of this airsoft gun comes a small BB, and that BB will make contact with your skin if the person who is doing a good job knows what he's doing. And so you aim and you squeeze the trigger, and out of this airsoft gun comes a small BB, and it's not quite as fast as a BB gun, but it will give a good little welt. Yes, it will give a good little welt. I've had more than my fair share and have inflicted more than those that I received. That's the objective. Now, I want to teach you from that airsoft gun what you've already learned, I'm sure, in science. But let's see if we can remember. I'll give you a C and then an E. We have a blank and a blank, all right? This is the gun shooting a BB. What is this and what is this? Let's get our thinking caps going. This is a C and the blank and the E. Let's see if we have anyone that has any idea where Pastor Sean's going already. Yes, ma'am.
Can it be kinetic energy?
It's not kinetic energy. No, it's not kinetic energy. I'll give you a second letter to see if we can get some thinking going. The blank and the blank. All right, I'll give you another one since we're not doing well. That should really help now. The blank and the blank, okay? Let's see if we got it now. Yes, ma'am. The cause and effect. Very good. You're going to have to understand this. The cause and effect. Now, the cause is the gun shooting a BB. It's going to come flying through the air. It's going to hit you right there in your Adam's apple. And what will the effect be? What will it be?
A welt.
A welt, okay. And before the welt, what will the word before that be?
Pain.
What? Pain, exactly. So, The cause is the gun shooting a BB, and the effect is, right away, when that BB makes contact with the soft tissue of your skin, it is going to inflict pain. You have little nerve endings in there that will feel that, and they'll immediately send a signal to your brain, and that brain signal will tell you a couple things. Help me think about what the brain will be telling you at that time. That was, yes, sir.
It's screaming, it hurts.
It hurts, right. It hurts. All right. What else will that response be? Shoot him back. Okay, that's one way. What's another response?
He just shot my neck.
Right. It could be. Hopefully you won't say to that girl work voice, but it could. All right. What else? Ow. Okay. Yes, pain. What else? What else will you probably do? Duck, okay, get out of the way. You want to stay there. The cause is the BB. The pain is the effect. You might shoot back. That might deter it. You might put your hand up there. You might hide behind the building. Get down. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. Let's do another illustration. All right, girls, this is only for the girls. Right. Right. I have a chicken and a
egg.
I have a chicken and an egg. All right? I've got a chicken and an egg. How about egg?
Is that real?
Yes, it's a real egg. Of course it's a real egg. So this is an egg.
Be careful.
Be careful. This is an egg, and out of this egg comes a
chicken.
All right, listen. I'm talking only to the fourth grade now. Only to the fourth grade. Everyone else, listen. Fourth grade, where did this chicken come from?
Egg.
Where did this chicken come from? Egg, all right. Where did that egg come from?
The mother.
The mother? Where did that mother come from?
Its mother.
No.
God.
Okay, let's get fourth grade up. Get over to fifth
grade.
Fourth grade, put your hands down, please. Fourth grade, sorry, you bombed. Okay. Let's start with fifth grade. This chicken came from this egg. Okay? Where did this egg come from? The mother chicken, all right? Where did that mother chicken come from? No. The entire academy right now, because, like, we're really struggling right now. All right. Fourth grade, you had your chance. Sorry. Fifth grade, you had your chance. Sorry. Let's try it now again with sixth grade. We'll begin with Colt. By the way, Colt, you did an exceptionally good job as the MC of sorts last night. Where was your partner in crime? I'm looking for her. There, where? Oh, there you are. Tucked away there. And you also did a great job opening this up. All right, so let's try again. We'll start at the very end, and we'll see how we can do sixth grade. All right, if this doesn't work, we're all going outside and do push-ups until we get our brains thinking. This chicken came from this egg. This chicken came from this egg. Right? This chicken came from this egg. Where did this egg come from?
A farm.
A mother what? Chicken? Okay, you don't have a mother egg. There's no father egg and mother egg. Where did that chicken come from? An egg. Where did that egg come from? A chicken. Very good. We're getting it. Where did that chicken come from? I can't hear you. An egg? Where did that egg come from? A chicken. Where did that chicken come from? Where did that egg come from?
Chicken.
A chicken. Where did that chicken come from? An egg. This can go on and on. This can go on and on and on. All right, let's stop with that one because that never comes from an egg. This is an egg. Everything has something behind it. That chicken didn't just poof. Something behind it. Let's do another one. Alright, within this apple is a
seed.
That's right, a seed. And this seed. Alright, listen. This seed, this small seed right here, can create a what? Fourth grade?
An apple tree.
Alright, an apple tree. This seed came from an apple. This apple came from a
apple tree.
That apple tree came from a
seed.
That seed came from an
apple.
That apple came from a
apple tree.
That apple tree came from a
seed.
That seed came from a
apple.
And this goes on and on and on and on and on. You may keep that. This is a box. This is a beautiful box. It has a name on it. It has lettering on it. It's made out of paper. It was created by someone. Inside this box is a protective plastic piece. Inside that protective glass is a wonderful piece of literature that describes how good this candy is. Okay? Fourth grade, you're behaving just like the first grade did. It's almost identical. It's pretty amazing. I'm very surprised. This chocolate did not just poof. It didn't just poof. Now, secular. Okay, that's a big word. Someone tell me what the word secular means. The word secular ties. What? Good. Worldly is fine. Unbelieving. Non-Christian. Non-religious. Secular scientist. Secular scientist will tell you everything in the universe came from a secular scientist, and unfortunately, even some liberal Christians will tell you that everything came from a big bang. A big bang. Now, listen, gotta get this. This is so important. You have to think, sixth grade. The reason they believe in a big bang is because everything has a cause. Everything has a cause. There isn't anything you can think of, there isn't anything I can think of that doesn't have a cause. There isn't anything that doesn't have a cause on this world, in this planet. What you wear, what you breathe, what you eat, what you take in, it all has a cause. If I was to tell you that this chocolate box full of the best cocoa, sugar, milk, nuts, caramel, just appeared. I mean, Mr. White, it just appeared. I mean, one day it wasn't there, and then it was there. And I said to you, this just appeared. What would you respond? How would you think about that if I was to try to tell you, it just appeared? I'm out of my mind. That's right. This chocolate just didn't appear. It was delivered to the church in a box. It was delivered to the church in a box from a man who ordered it from a company where they make this kind of chocolate. And they got this chocolate from various plants and various products from all over the United States. And then they mixed it and made it, and they put it in this container, and then they boxed it, and they shipped it, and they delivered it, and I opened it, and I ate it. Everyone understands that there has to be a cause. There has to be a cause. To say that the universe just poof is ridiculous. Listen to me. It's stupid. Yes, I'm using a very harsh word to suggest, if I was to tell you that this was just bang, and it was there, you would think you've lost your mind. This stuff just doesn't bang into existence. No, this had to be assembled just right. Too much cocoa, and it would be bitter. Too much sugar, and it would be awesome, someone said. It might not have the cocoa flavor to it. This morning we have the world's greatest cookie maker with us. She makes incredible cookies. You have to get the ingredients. You have to assemble those ingredients. You don't just wake up in the morning and all the cookies are in your kitchen. Now let's get into the Bible. I'm going to teach you something very important. You're going to have to think. John chapter number 8, verse 58. John chapter number 8, verse 58. Look at it with me, please. Jesus said unto them, now the word verily, verily means truly, truly. I'm telling you the truth. It's what a fisherman says right before he gets ready to tell you how big a fish he caught. He says, I'm telling you the truth. And then he lies about how big a fish he caught. Jesus never lies. Verily, verily, truly, truly, it's an attention getter. It shows the importance of it. This is a very important statement. Listen to it. Verily, verily, listen up. That's the idea. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now look at it again with me. I want you to notice very clearly what Jesus said. Before Abraham was, I am. Look at it in your Bible. Put your finger in the place so I know you're following me. Before Abraham was, I am. Now let's think for just a minute. By the way, I'm going to give away all this chocolate this morning to you based on how well you pay attention and answer questions. So none of it, except for the piece that I ate, is going back with me. So there are many pieces to be earned by you this morning. I don't want to take any with me. Jesus said, verily, verily, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Someone please tell me what we're getting ready to celebrate, and do not say Christmas. Do not say Christmas. Tell me what we're getting ready to celebrate, and do not say Christmas. The birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus. Listen very closely, because I know you can think it's not necessarily even his birthday, because we don't know when he was born. So we're not even celebrating his birthday. It's fine that you said that, but I want you to think even deeper. We're celebrating his birth. We're celebrating his birth. Because there's a strong possibility that Jesus was not born in the month of December. There's a strong possibility that he was not born in the month of December. That he wasn't born in the month of December. The truth is, fourth grade, we don't know when he was born. The Bible doesn't tell us the day he was born. So while we know when you were born and we can celebrate your birthday, we're celebrating his birth. Now, beyond that, there is a big word that describes what we're celebrating. A big word that describes what we're celebrating. And it starts with the letter I. Let's see if anyone knows that big word that we're celebrating. Starts with the letter I. And if you know this, it's definitely worth a piece of chocolate. Yes, ma'am. The incarnation. Very, very, very good. The incarnation. Help yourself. Help yourself. Job well done. The incarnation. The incarnation. We're celebrating God taking on human flesh and coming to the world. The incarnation. We're celebrating the incarnation. We are not celebrating the creation of Jesus. We're not celebrating the creation of Jesus. We're not celebrating the creation of Jesus. Because Jesus said in that verse, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. So we're not celebrating the creation of Jesus. Because Jesus said, I was there before Abraham. I was there before Abraham. Put your thinking caps on and let's see how far back that goes. Let's start with the very first created man and let's work our way through some names. First created man was Adam. Adam had a wife and some sons and they had more sons. The next man that God saved from a massive flood was Noah. Very good. Noah had a wife and three sons, and those sons had sons. And then in Genesis chapter number 12, God called a man from the Ur of Chaldees to start a new people called the Jews. And that man's name was? Abraham. Very good. Very good. Very, very good. Abraham had a son whose name was Isaac. Isaac had a son whose name was Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and we have the 12 tribes of Israel. Very good. Go straight down like this. 12 tribes of Israel ended up in Egypt because they were struggling for food. Joseph was already prepositioned there by God, had set aside lots of food. They all moved down to Egypt, and then a new Pharaoh rose up in Exodus chapter number 1 who did not know Joseph, and all of a sudden the Jews that were free became what?
Slaves.
It was a miserable life, right?
Yes.
It was a miserable life, and the children of Israel were in bondage, and they began to
pray.
They prayed that God would send them a leader to deliver them out of
this
bondage, Egypt, and take them into the promised land. Who is that leader that God raised up? Who is that leader that God raised up?
Moses.
Very good. Very, very good. That leader's name was Moses. We're going to come back to him. Very important man. Moses led them out of Egypt and right on the edge of the promised land. But because they were a rebellious brat kind of a people and did not do what they were told, they were not allowed to go to the promised land, and they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. After those 40 years, God led this man to take them into the promised land and to conquer that great city right away called Jericho. And that man is Joshua. Very good. Joshua. And Joshua was the first of many, many judges, and for 400 years Israel lived under the judges. After a while living under the judges, they noticed that everyone else around them had these men, and they didn't have them, and they wanted the same thing that everyone else had, and that was a king. And you would call them, give us a king, everyone's got a king, we're the only ones that don't have kings, we want a king. And the prophet would say to them, you don't want kings. Kings aren't good. Kings will take your sons. They'll tax you. They'll make your life miserable. But they kept on saying, we want a
king.
God gave them the first king, and the first king was?
Saul.
Very good. Let's put Saul up here. And we have a whole series of kings. The next king after Saul was?
David.
And the next king after David was?
Wisest man that ever lived on the face of the planet?
Solomon. And Solomon's son had a son, and another son, and another son. And there were kings and kings and kings and kings. There were good kings and bad kings. They were northern kings and southern kings. And it was miserable. Kings and gods of kings. Straight down. The children of Israel did not listen to the kings, and so God would send them these men called, starts with letter P, to give them words, to tell them what to do. Those men were called prophets.
Very good.
And there was a whole series of prophets, that would speak to the people about the word of God and try to get them corrected, get them fixed, get them back on the right track, stop the disobedience. There were major prophets and minor prophets. They were all prophets, large books of the Bible, small books of the Bible. They're all prophets. Did they listen to the prophets?
No.
So then God sent his
son.
God sent his son, born of the Virgin Mary, grew up in a carpenter's house, lived for about 30 years until his baptism, and then he began to speak the word of God. On one day, when he was speaking the words that the Father gave him, he said this sentence right here in John chapter number 8, verse 58. And he said, verily, verily, before Abraham was,
I am.
And they all looked at him like he had lost his mind. Mr. Whitey, like, you were looking at me when I told you that box of candy just poofed and it was in existence. Are you kidding me? They all said, whoa, time out, Jesus. We know. Your mother was married. You're only 30 years old. You're not old enough to be before Abraham. What are you talking about? You said, before Abraham was, I am. You weren't alive before Abraham. Abraham was 2,000 years ago. For us, 4,000 years ago. At the time, at least 2,000 years ago. So how did you get that, Pastor Son?
Well, we know that Moses received the law in 1440 B.C. We back up from 1440 BC when God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Back up generation after generation after generation. Gives you about 2,000 years ago. So what was Jesus saying in John 8:58 when he said, before Abraham was, I am? What was he saying? What was he saying? Yes, ma'am. Yes. He created Abraham. He wasn't saying that exactly, but that's certainly a true statement. What was he saying? He was alive before Abraham. Could he have said, could God have said, could Jesus have said, before Adam was, I am? Could he have said that? He could have?
Yes.
That would have been a true statement.
Yes.
Okay. So now, do you understand what he's, I am? I was in existence. I was there. I was alive. I was in existence. Now, let's go to the Old Testament. Last book that we're going to look at. Go to Exodus, please. Chapter number 3, verse 14. Now, you're going to have to think. It's going to get hard now. No, Exodus, chapter number 3, verse number 13. Hold your place there. Hold your place there. Pay attention to the white driver's board. This large brown rectangle represents the cosmos or the universe. Within this large rectangle is everything that there is, every star, every planet, every rock, every human being, everything that has ever existed is inside this rectangle. Inside there. And there isn't anything inside this rectangle that doesn't have a cause. Everything. Everything inside this rectangle has a cause. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about this apple and the seed that made the tree, that made the apple, that made the seed, that made the tree, that made the apple. It doesn't matter. Everything inside that box has a cause. Everything. Doesn't matter whether we're talking about this tissue box. Doesn't matter whether we're talking about this jacket you're wearing, the book you're holding in your hand. Everything has a cause. There was something behind it. There was a creator that thought about it, that pushed it forward, that designed it. Nothing in this entire rectangle box exists without having a cause. You can't think of anything that doesn't have a cause. Even wind. Even wind has a cause. High pressure and low pressure systems come together, and that's what creates wind. Is that correct, Mr. Wiley? So the wind is the effect of the cause of two pressure systems bumping together. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. Everything has a cause. Hold that thought now. You're going to have to think. I told you that. Not an easy topic. Exodus chapter number 3. Let me get there very quickly. Give me a second. Genesis, Exodus. And I told you that in Exodus chapter number 1, there was a new Pharaoh that did not know the Jews. I told you that the Israelites were praying for what?
Freedom.
Freedom. Excellent. Very good. God raised up a man called
Moses.
Okay. We're in Exodus chapter number 3. God tells Moses, or is getting ready to tell Moses, that he wants him to be the man. Moses observes in the distance a burning bush. But it's an amazing burning bush because it doesn't stop burning. It keeps burning and burning and burning. Most of the time, a bush would start burning and then eventually die out because the bush is consumed. And when it's consumed, there's nothing left to burn. But this bush keeps on burning. Does anyone remember when Moses began to move forward to check out this burning bush. Does anyone remember? Now, you probably don't, but let's see. Does anyone remember what God told them? You remember? All right, I'll do it then. Take off my shoes. Okay. Take off your shoes. We're on what kind of land?
Holy ground.
So he begins to move forward to check out this burning
bush.
And God begins to communicate to Moses. Let's look at verse number 13. Are we ready? And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, What is his name? What's his name? Who's sending you? Or, who made you boss? Or, who've elevated you to the position of leader? What's his name? Who's in charge? What's his name? That's what he asks. And they shall say to me, What is his name? And Moses says, What am I going to tell them, God? What shall I say unto them? They're going to ask me. I know for sure when they come and I say, God sends me to lead us out, they're going to say, What's God's name? Now, why are they asking this question? Because in the land that they're living, there are, Ty? What's that?
No gods.
There's a plurality of gods. There's gods everywhere. Pharaoh thinks he's a god. Everybody's worshiping gods. There's gods everywhere. So when Moses steps up and says, God's sending me, they want to know what is his
name.
What God are you talking about? What God? Are you talking about the sun god? Are you talking about the moon god? Are you talking about the god of Egypt? What god are you talking about? Because there are many gods in their view. There are many gods in their view. So now let's look very closely at the answer that he gets. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. Now that is an interesting name. I am that I am. In fact, I would say that's not a name. That doesn't sound like a name. What's your name?
Lewis.
What's your name?
Autumn.
Autumn. What's your name? Does anyone here have a name, I am that I am? Does anyone have a name that I am that I am? Anyone at all have a I am that I am? That's a unique name. That doesn't sound like a name that I'm familiar with. I am that I am. I am that I am. What? I am that I am. Another way that we could translate that is, I is. And you look, that's strange, isn't it? I is. Is a verb. It's a be verb, isn't it?
Yes!
All right. What tense? Present tense. Was there ever a time that God was?
No.
Is there ever a time that God is future?
No.
Because God doesn't exist in time. God doesn't exist in time. God isn't a created being, Colt. See, you were, you are, you will be. But there's no past, present, and future with God in the sense that he did exist. He has always... Say it again. Always... Always existed. I am that I am is a Hebrew way, because you remember the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. It's a way of saying, I've always existed. It's a way of communicating, I is. I is that I is. There is nothing beyond me. Don't try to give me a name like the God, the sun God. Don't try to give me a name like the moon God. Don't try to make me a created being. I have always existed. All right, let's go back up here to our rectangle. Everything in the rectangle has a cause and a... Right. There isn't anything that doesn't have a cause. In the rectangle, everything has a cause. Pay attention. Okay. Egg, chicken, 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 egg, and then the first chicken made by
God.
First chicken made by God. Now we know God didn't make an egg because eggs have to be sat on and incubated. So God made the chicken, which laid the egg, which made the chicken, which laid the egg. But the chicken has to have a creator. The chicken has to have a cause. We can do this with everything, students. We can do this with everything. We can go over here with the, we can do it with the seed, the apple, and the tree. And we can do it over and over again, all the way back to the very first tree that God made. So what you want to know is, who made God? That's a logical. And the answer is no one. No one. He is, get this now, this is hard, and I'm going to write it outside the rectangle. He is the uncaused, cause. He's the uncaused cause. The uncaused cause. Now think, teachers, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to reinforce this afternoon and then in the beginning of the new year, because this is a good concept to understand. Everything has a cause. But in order for everything to have a cause, there has to be an uncaused cause. And that's God. He's the uncaused cause. He's the uncaused cause of the apple. He's the uncaused cause of the chicken. He's the uncaused cause of Adam. He's the uncaused cause of earth. He's the uncaused cause of the sun. He is the one that exists outside of the rectangle. Everything inside the rectangle has a cause. Outside the rectangle is the reason we have a rectangle. Who created the cosmos?
God
did. If you back everything up, there has to be someone. Let's take, for example, this. Who is the human cause of this?
Steve Jobs.
That's exactly right. Steve Jobs. He is the cause of this. Steve Jobs had the vision of creating iPhones. That was his vision. If this iPhone, listen please, if this iPhone is like this rectangle right here, the cosmos, then Steve Jobs is like God. Steve Jobs to the iPhone is God to the universe. He's the cause behind the iPhone. Who's the cause behind the universe?
God.
And we call him an uncaused cause because no one caused him. He's always existed. He's always existed. So, when God... Can I have my shoe back, by the way? When God was... It's not... You're holding it like it's stinky. It's not bad. I checked my socks out this morning to make sure. Do I have any holes in my socks?
Yeah.
All right, good. You sure? If I told you, listen, I'm going to wrap it up, but you're going to have to think about this. Listen. Mr. Whitey, you love science. If I told you that this iPhone fell out of the sky just the way it was, you would think I was a lunatic on the level of a poached egg. It's stupid. It is the most ridiculous thing in the world to suggest that this thing just pooped. You need to pay attention. This is so important. You can understand this. Secular scientists want you to believe that this complicated, amazing universe was created by a They actually, you can't believe this. Listen to me, students. You can't believe this. But there are actually scientists on the earth that believe that billions of years ago, there was a cosmic explosion, and out of that explosion came the most complicated universe beyond our wildest imagination. I know that you students are being taught things like, if the earth was a little closer to the sun, we would burn up. If the earth was a little farther from the sun, we would freeze to death. I know you're being taught that kind of stuff. I know you're being challenged to help you understand that the exact positioning of the earth is where it's not too cold and it's not too hot. It's amazing to me, fourth grade, that we understand that it is stupid to think that this phone came from a cosmic explosion, or that that cookie you make came from a, like, you just, there was just like in the kitchen, you heard, and then you walked in there, and there were 2 dozen cookies arrayed nicely out in the, that's stupid. And yet, scientists want you to believe that this amazing universe came from a bang. I'm done. So listen, and then we'll do a review. What God was telling Moses when he said, I am that I am, was I am the cause of everything. I'm the self-existent cause of everything. Now, for your choice of a piece of chocolate, what was Jesus telling those people that he was? What was Jesus telling those people that he was? Exactly. Close your Bibles. Okay, I still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You have a question, all right? Let's hear your question.
No, it's about the apple.
It is about the apple. Go ahead.
When do you want me to eat this?
You may eat that apple anytime you want. Who was Jesus talking to in John chapter number 8, verse 58? Who was Jesus talking to? Yes, ma'am. I need a better answer than that question. Just so he was not talking about Abraham. Abraham was dead. He should be at that point. Yes, sir. No, I didn't ask that question. You're not listening closely. Who is Mr. Kirk? Kirkland.
Sorry. No, Pharisees.
The Pharisees, exactly. Yeah. So I have a few more. Why was Moses so curious about that bush? Why was Moses so curious about that bush? Isn't that? It wouldn't burn out. Very good. What is the name of the argument that we're talking about? The name of the argument that we're talking about? The name of the argument that we're talking about? The name of the argument that we're talking about? You're not done. You have to finish the whole thing.
Cause and effect.
Nope. Nope, not cosmetic. That's... Nope. It is. You want a second piece? What?
No.
Sure?
No.
It's good chocolate. It's good chocolate. All right. Abraham had 2 sons. Give me both the sons' names. Two sons, initial two sons. Give them to me in the order first. Two sons. Very good. I have a few more. I need someone to explain to me how Joseph ended up in Egypt. I need somebody to explain to me how Joseph ended up in Egypt. Someone explain to me. Let's see right here. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Two. Oh, you gotta do better than that. This is great chocolate. You gotta give me details. I want details. I want to know that you know your Bible inside and out. I want more information. I want a good answer. Yes, ma'am. Right here.
Their brothers were jealous of these gentlemen of well, and they sold them to merchants, and then
they went to Egypt. Okay. And then, tell me, keep on out. In Egypt, what happened?
He became a
slave. Okay, he's a slave. Then what?
And he became one of the king's
wise men. Okay. Wise men. All right, I'll do that. I think you can do better, though. I really do. I think we need to know the story a little bit better now. Mr. White, would you like to
No.
He doesn't have to share. He's not obligated to share. Sharing is out of his own free will.